Thank you all for allowing me to speak and have some time and just being here with you all this morning. I had to check the time. I was like, it's morning? Is it morning? I had to make sure. So if you've all had a talk with me before, and if you were all at the solstice party last week, you know, I love a good meditation. And so I'm going to do one this morning as well. Because I just think, you know, we get up, we do breakfast, we get dressed, we plan our days. Even if it's a lazy Sunday, it's like, I got to plan that nap. I got to pencil that nap in, you know? So we have our things that we do and we plan. And so I just invite you all to just take a little breather and settle in, especially because this whole book, man, it is thick. It is dense. He goes on some rants. And so to prepare us for that, let's just take a moment and breathe and take a moment to celebrate summertime. Because I was just really struck. I think it's because it's, you know, it's July. And it's July. It is the middle of summer. It is my mom's favorite month. It is her birthday month. It is the month of beaches. It is the month of beaches and piña coladas and cool swims and treasure hunting and all this fun stuff. So I was really inspired by summer. And so I want to take us to a lovely place to appreciate and enjoy this fun, fun, fun season and to settle our bodies. And so I invite you, if you're in a safe space to do so, please close your eyes. Feel your eyelids relax, your brow relax, your forehead relax. I think we carry a lot of stress in our facial muscles that we don't even realize. Our jaw too, just let it all loose. You can even do like a tighten it, tighten it, tighten it, and then let it go. Feel it melt, you know. Holmes uses the word liquid a lot in this chapter. Feel that liquidity. Feel that energy move. Take a deep breath in and exhale. And I invite you to see in your mind's eye what you consider the perfect summer scene. And maybe it's like my mom, where you're just sitting on the beach with, you know, a beach chair and your feet in the water, just soaking in the sunshine and the warmth as the water laps at your feet. Or maybe it's something like my dad, where he explores the forests with the dog. They hike and hike and hike, and he calls it the jungle of Virginia. He says he's never seen a state so verdant, so lush. And he and the dog explore. I think I'm leaning toward the beach here. I'm on a tropical beach somewhere where the water's crystal clear. Maybe I'm chilling on a palm tree, drinking some pineapple juice. Whatever feels good to you. This is a season of joy. It's the peak of life. The harvest is coming. It's lush, it's fragrant. Whether that's coconut and pineapple and seashore, or it's fresh, warm earth and lush flowers and trees and ferns. It's beautiful, it's bountiful. Bountiful, bountiful, bountiful. Dr. Joseph Murphy says that there's enough fruit that falls off of trees in the tropics, enough food and fish in the waters near tropical islands to feed the whole world 10 times over. The world is so much more bountiful than we realize. And so I want us to realize that the bounty around us. There's no scarcity. There's just bounty, bounty, bounty. And summer is a celebration of that. Summer is a celebration of that. Settle into your space and soak up the golden sun, all the vitamin D that you need. Your body is taking in. It's making you happy. It's charging your battery. After this talk, I encourage you to go take a walk, even if it's a short one, because I do know it's hot. I do know it's a little bit muggy in Virginia. But I encourage you to take a little walk, just a little one. Feel the sun on your skin. What a gift. What a gift. Settle your toes in the sand or sit and, like my dad, maybe you have a favorite place next to a tree where you just sit and look out at the pastures and the trees, whatever it is for you. Maybe it's just sitting in the cool shade of a RV or a favorite beach cottage or little cottage in the woods. Just take a moment and sit. Let the sun and the earth soak into you. Let it recharge your body, recalibrate your entire energy. And I'm going to let us sit here for a minute or so, just savoring. Now I invite you to take a deep breath in and exhale. You start to hear the noise. Maybe the shore gets a little bit louder as the water starts to lap a little bit more powerfully. Or maybe you hear some dragonflies or some birdies. Or like me, someone's mowing their lawn outside. And it's just a little reminder to come back to the physical present, to this physical moment. We're back in our bodies. We've taken a nice little break, a nice little refresh to reset our energies. And that is such a gift. And I invite you now to open your eyes again. You open your eyes, blink a little bit, move around if you want to, get some energy back in. Just sort of get your thoughts back and into this physical space and this physical plane. I always like to say this, know that that place of peace, that relaxation is always there for you, right? Like, you don't have to have me lead you there. You can go there anytime you need it. If you're safely in the middle of traffic, you know, don't close your eyes, but you can go there and take a deep breath. Or if you're busy in the middle planning a summer party or taking the kid to camp or planning a big vacation, you can always, always go to that space and relax. Okay. So I thank you all. I thank you all for being here and giving me the time to speak. And as I said earlier, this is, these chapters, man, they are dense. They're dense. And I'm going to be honest with you. I really feel like he repeats himself. He just hammers in some points. Like, and he does not stop hammering it in. So the core of this chapter boils down to everything is one. The prayer is not different than the thing prayed for. Everything is one. And this is interesting because I was actually just reading yesterday before I really settled down with this chapter. I was reading, there's a Reddit board. Reddit is a popular like message board, a social networking site. And there's a message board for Neville Goddard and Law of Assumption, Law of Attraction work. And someone mentioned the concept of everyone is you pushed out. And like, so everything that you see is a representation of you in some way. And someone commented and was like, well, what I think that's really saying is everything is a hive mind. And I was reading the chapter that night and I was like, oh, that's literally just what I was talking about and reading about, that everything is one. Dr. Joseph Murphy refers to it as, we're all swimming in the great ocean of the race mind, the human race mind. And within this mind, you know, let's be honest, there's everything. There's harmony and there's beauty. And then there's people having a really hard time with their life. And there's people struggling and wondering and questioning. It's all encompassing of this 3D human Earth experience. You know, Earth is very much a learning planet. So our race mind in this experience encompasses all of it. And Holmes says, you know, it's all one, but I want you to focus on the good and harmony. He says, if you focus on harmony and that you'll harmonize, you'll get the law of harmony in return. And he says, what it is we're living in the realm. He says, I don't like the term absolutism. He says, I like the term unconditioned clauses or effects, unconditioned effects. And basically what it boils down to is Holmes says that, he says, you know, this entire world is a bunch of possibilities. Every possibility. And again, this goes back to me talking about quantum entanglement and Einstein, these brilliant quantum scientists that are coming out and saying everything that's possible is happening, is possible. And it's all about our decisions that we make. And that's exactly what he says. He says, we have this giant, beautiful possibility, this beautiful, huge realm known as God. And what we have to do is we have to focus our mind to what we want this thing to become. We have to focus and choose what we want the law to make our existence. Basically, the universe is this giant, beautiful hunk of clay or marble. And we can get frustrated and we can say, I'm just going to sit here and destroy this marble. Or we can create the Statue of David. I believe that it might have been Michelangelo who said, you know, as he was focusing on, he would look at the piece of marble and he would see his art. He wouldn't see a hunk of marble. He would see what he was bringing out already within it. And that's one of the most beautiful examples. I don't know why that ends up making me get emotional, but it's like you look at your potential and you see, you can either see, these past couple of days, it's really hit me that like, yeah, I can see struggle. I can see frustration, or I can see, I could make my choice and say, I can see all this good potential. And I can see all this beauty that I can carve forth and then I can bring forth. And that's what Holmes is saying. He's saying, you know, we have all this beautiful potentiality and we choose what we want to do with it. And, you know, that was really interesting to me because if you study, there's an ancient magician. They don't think he actually existed. The Hermes Trismegistus. Hermes thrice blessed, Hermes three times the wise. They think he's a conglomeration of some ancient Greek prophets and philosophers, along with the legend of the Egyptian god Thoth, the god of wisdom, the god who had the bird's head who brought wisdom to the ancient Egyptians. So they have this image of a magician called Hermes Trismegistus. And he apparently wrote the Emerald Tablet that has the laws, the hermetic laws of the world. One of which is as above, so below. Another is the law of duality, the law of opposites. And so studying this, initially I was like, well, okay, that doesn't really make sense. Cause like, if we have the law of duality and we have the law of opposites and like, let's be real, we experience that. What goes up must come down. You have black, you have white, you have yin, you have yang. There is duality. Like, let's be real. There's duality. And so I was reading this chapter and initially I was kind of like, is he kind of like, no offense, but is he kind of living in this woo-woo world where like everything's all one, all love, man. And like, that's a wonderful idea. That's a wonderful concept. But I have to bring it into my talks. We have a dose of sometimes life is hard, man. You know, sometimes life is tricky. And We can't always live in love and light. We can't always be in the vortex. We have to have that experience of a little bit of contrast. And then I was reading along, and he's like, he brings in the Temple of Solomon. And so they know for a fact, architecturally and archaeologically, there was one temple of Jerusalem built. And they also, the Freemasons believe in this practice. There were apparently two columns at the front of the Temple of Jerusalem called Yaquin and Boaz. And the whole temple was built with Solomonic wisdom and deep, deep, deep meaning. And the two temples represent a duality. And Holmes says they represent, and I thought this was the coolest thing, because I'm sitting here reading and I'm like, we have duality in life, man. I'm sorry, buddy, but like, we can't all be one giant good thing. And he says, he hits it and he says, okay, so the temples are, or excuse me, the columns at the head of the temple are one, all that is good, all that is beautiful, all that is harmony, God, the divine hive mind, the beauty, the beautiful mind. And then the other temple is the law, or excuse me, the other column is the law and how we apply it. And I said, okay, look at you. That makes sense. So we have this beautiful, beautiful hive mind, this beautiful mind, this beautiful, a beautiful mind, like the movie. That mathematician brought this beautiful equations and thoughts out of God's mind. We have God's mind as one side of the equation. And then the other side, the other column, is how we use it and how we apply it, our use of the law. And I said, okay, there's the duality. We're God, and then a representation of God's self and how we choose to tap into that God self. And that's a choice. That's a choice you make every day. That's the free will we've been given. And some days it's easier than others, let me tell you. But if you think of yourself as every morning standing at the entrance to the Temple of Jerusalem, this is really deep. You don't have to do this. I'm just saying if you wanted to. And you're saying, all right, so I have every single day I have that column. I have that column of God's self. I have that column of pure beauty and harmony. I have that hunk of marble that has all potentialities within it. And then I'm the second column, and I'm sitting here and I have the potential to choose how I want to create my day. I have the choice to how I want to create and draw forth the art within that marble. And I know that everything is one. Everything that I want and could think of and have. And, you know, Holmes uses the example of, you can have anger, a little pot that boils. He quotes a lot of Emerson in this, and the transcendentalists were very much, excuse me, in tune. Very much in tune with this. Holmes said he was at like a, he said that Emerson was at some kind of meeting and was a political meeting, and he got really frustrated. And then he walked out in nature, and nature showed him how to calm down and let it go. So we have all this potentiality. We have the potential for anger and frustration, or we have the potential to give it over to God and focus on the God self and nature and love and harmony and how to let it all go. Because we have all that potentiality within us. We really do. We really do. And he talks about one of my favorites to quote here in these. It goes up into the air. It goes up into burnt energy. It goes down into ash. It goes down into your tasty marshmallow that fuels your body. It's all one. You can't separate it. You can't separate it. Holmes, I think he's quoting Emerson again when he says, it's liquid law. Love that. Love that. Liquid law, man. Liquid law. What happens with water? You freeze it, it freezes. You melt it, it turns into liquid. You boil it, it turns into steam. It's all the same. If you use the same cup of water, it's the same cup of water. It's all one. And look at all these beautiful potential states we can have with this all oneness. That is huge. Think of that potentiality. Again, I sit back and think of Michelangelo looking at that huge hunk of marble that these people quarried and took from a quarry and brought it to his studio. And he sat there and he said, I saw it. And people go and they go and see David and they're shocked at how huge it is. He said, I have God's self within me. He said, I mean, he didn't say that, but he knew it in his heart. He knew he was a genius. That's one of the things that Michelangelo is famous for, is he had an ego. You know, he knew he was in touch with God. And he said, I look at that marble and I saw it and I see my works. And all I'm doing is scooping out the extra. All we're doing every day is trying to scoop out the extra that isn't serving us. And it's a practice every day. It's a practice every day to scoop out that which does not serve us. Scoop out the parts of the marble that aren't aligned with what we want, which is God's self, which is the law of harmony. And then he talks about how he was working with a gentleman in the studio, and this young man was really struggling. And the young man was saying, I have to make this work. I have to make this work. And Holmes said, you know, stop struggling. You don't have to make anything happen. It's already done. It's already made. It's already complete. All we're doing is removing the extra. We're just slicing away the extra. We're taking away some guard, some like a gate or two. We're opening some gates. We're opening some dams safely. We're cutting away the extra marble. One of my dear friends loves to do ceramics. We're pulling away the extra clay. That's not a struggle. That's not a struggle. That's just pulling away. That's moving what's extra. We can smoothly do it. We can steadily do it. It doesn't have to be a struggle because we keep our eye on the prize. We keep our eye focused on the God self, the God within. That beautiful thing that we want, our manifestation in the 3D realm, it's already done. Energy equals mass, liquid law. Everything already exists, is swirling around in this beautiful God mind. All we're doing is we're just smoothly and gently taking away the struggles, taking away the obstacles to our manifestation. And that's a practice. That's a practice. I'm not going to lie to you. It's like a medical practice. It's like a yoga practice. It's like an art practice, a writing practice, a piano practice, your voice practicing, your songs. It's practice, you know, because we do live in a world where we have God mind and how we use the law. We have that duality at the entrance to the temple. And every day we're going to practice a little bit, whether it's 10 minutes or 5 minutes of choosing to focus on the God self, choosing to focus on the positivity. Choosing to focus on our final image of our statue of David within the marble. Took him years to carve that, but he did it. He saw it. Years for the Sistine Chapel. But he laid there on that scaffolding for years, and he looked up and he knew it and he saw it. People say you walk in there and you're speechless. There's no desire to talk because you're in the presence of someone who's an art piece that was truly God being seen. So every day we have our choice to wake up and see our Michelangelo work, our David, our Sistine Chapel. I remember watching an art auction for Salvador Mundi, The Savior of the World by Da Vinci. And it was a rare painting by him that everyone thought was lost, like the original. Someone found the original. And everyone in that room went silent when it came up. Because again, I truly believe that when you see something, that's an example and an expression of God. That was me when I went to London and I went to the National Gallery. The first time I saw the full size of Monet's water lilies, I started crying. And every day we have the opportunity to access those masterpieces within us, because the masterpieces are there. They're ready. All we have to do is every day practice and work at accessing them. And I want to end with how Holmes talks about how that masterpiece might look different to everyone. And it's not our place to judge. I truly believe, and I try to live my life, as if you're not hurting anyone with purpose and with malice, live your life. Because Holmes talks about how he goes to Palm Springs, and he said he was shocked at how people lived there. And I've heard this also from friends who've traveled to maybe countries that, might be labeled second or third world, whatever people label it. And are some of the happiest people they've ever met. Because to them, a masterpiece is freshly made dinner, sitting around with family and loved ones, or a guest that they welcome into the village, and a dance, or a freshly made cake. And it's not a new flat screen TV or a trip to the Bahamas, which are fine too. That's someone else's masterpiece. But Holmes says, be aware that everyone's masterpiece is different and it's not our place to judge. As long as it's not hurting someone, I think he actually says that in the chapter, as long as it's not with malice and hurting someone and hurting people, let it be the masterpiece. Always keep an awareness about you. That every day we have the opportunity to wake up and sit down and say, I'm going to work today on my David, my statue of David. I'm going to work today on my Sistine Chapel. And maybe it's going to take you years. But if you stay focused on the beauty of, you say, God, man, universe, higher self, help me create more of my masterpiece today. Help me scrape away more of the marble so that I can find more of God. Help me use my column of truth and wisdom to activate more of God's self. See more of God in the everything and the everyday. If you say that every morning, and I believe if you take maybe 5 minutes a day to just stop and think of that, like Dr. Joseph Murphy says, like with spiritual osmosis, it's going to soak into your brain and you're going to start living it. You're going to start seeing more and more every day of your statue of David, of your Sistine Chapel, of your Salvador Mundi, of your Monet's water lilies. It takes effort. It takes practice, but it's worth it. And I encourage you all to do it and take time every single day to actively seek out and create your masterpiece, your communion with God, because it is all there and it is just waiting for you. Another example I want to give here, I won't harp on it because J.K. Rowling's had some controversy in the past few years, but she talked about how she was sitting on a train and suddenly Harry Potter just started forming in her head. She used the word, she felt like it was downloaded. And in that moment, she started gathering her masterpiece. You know, Tolkien, writing Lord of the Rings, he was a linguist, he was a brilliant man. And he would sit under a tree, he said, and he would just start writing. He got his downloads. That masterpiece that is ours and that is no one else's, because we are a beautiful snowflake, remember. We are like nothing ever created, that nothing will ever be created again. Our beautiful masterpiece just for us, working one-on-one with God. It is there, and all we have to do is select it, click it, work with it, practice it every single day. And I truly believe we all can do that and invite you to do that. And I thank you for listening to me and giving me the time to hopefully parse out some inspiration, whatever truth means to you from this chapter. I hope it brought you a little bit of some guidance and some thought to have today and every day after. Thank you very much.